This is 89.1 WEMU, and we're going to spend a little time talking about chemical contamination of our water. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. Now, in this area, most of our focus has been on dioxane emanating from the old Gelman Sciences facility and heading towards the Huron River. If there is dioxane in the river, it remains at non-detect levels to this point. But what we do know is that other chemicals that are devastating other areas of the state are now detectable in the Huron River. I'm talking about PFAS. My guest today is going to help us get a better handle on the issue. Dr. Rita Locke Caruso is a toxicologist and environmental health sciences professor at the University of Michigan. And, Doctor, thank you so much for the time today.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, let's start here and create a little baseline. What exactly is the makeup of PFAS, and for what industrial purposes have they been used?
So there's a large class of chemicals of perfluorocarbons, and we have recently changed how we describe them from perfluorocarbons to perfluoroalkyl substances, or PFASs. There's at least 3,000 of these chemicals that are in commercial use, and some have estimated it's as much as 5,000. These are chemicals that are characterized by having carbons linked to each other and also linked to fluorine atoms. The PFASs that have been studied the most are two types, the PFOS and the PFOA. And these PFASs in general, these perfluoroalkyl substances, they're an example of the fallacy of wonder chemicals that our civilization has fallen for. These are chemicals that include things like asbestos, which was the marvelous chemical when it was first introduced. Marvelous substance is going to change all these products. PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls, are another type of chemical that falls into this category. They were wonder chemicals. They were going to solve lots of problems. In the case of PFAS, the PFAS chemicals are the chemicals that make our shoes and jackets repel water. They help our carpets resist stains and dirt. They help keep our fast food packaging from getting soggy.
And what you're going to find when you talk to those in those particular industries is it's a necessary part of our business model and necessary to put our product before you, the consumer.
I think the question is, for me, is the protection of public health.
There are now more than 20 sites around the state with documented PFAS contamination, and to my knowledge, the worst of the contamination sites are the Wolverine Tannery Plume in Rockford, which does make those shoes, and the U.S. Air Force Base in Oscoda. What risk do people in those areas face when it comes to public health and water quality?
The problem with the PFAS chemicals is that they persist in the environment. Once they get into the water, they will stick around. They also have the potential to build up in our bodies, especially the PFOS chemicals, the longer chained carbon type chemicals. They've been associated with numerous health effects. And in fact, the Agency on Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, the ATSDR, for the U.S. government, recently released a draft toxicologic profile on these perfluorochemicals. And in that report, they present evidence, recommendations that if they were extrapolated to drinking water, suggests that current protections are not adequate.
You know, it begs the question, how does this even happen? Has it been a lack of education about these chemicals, a disregard for the environment, or a lack of appropriate regulation?
I think it's a lack of appropriate regulation. We put chemicals into our environment first, and then we worry about their effects on the environment and on health later.
We now know that the state was aware of the PFAS problem as far back as 2012, even commissioned a study and report as to the pervasiveness of the problem and its potential consequences, yet no action was taken on any of those recommendations until recently, and that may indicate another issue at play, that being politics. Is that a concern for you?
I'm not going to comment on politics.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking about PFAS with Dr. Rita Locke Caruso. She is a scientist, and thus her position there. She is a toxicologist and environmental health sciences professor at the University of Michigan. Let's take a moment and discuss the potential ramifications of exposure. The EPA has set a level of 70 parts per trillion as a safe level for consumption, correct?
What they have is they have a health advisory at 70 parts per trillion. This is a non-regulatory guidance given to regulators, politicians, water treatment plant operators, et cetera.
when we talk about other chemicals and safety levels, like dioxane is an example. We're familiar with that around here. The safety levels are in the parts per billion instead of trillion. Is that an indication that PFAS are far more hazardous and potentially dangerous to humans, animals, and the ecosystem?
I think when you start seeing health advisories in the parts per trillion, yes, that's definitely an indication that these are considered potentially more hazardous.
The detected levels in the Huron River in 2017 were measured at about 15 parts per trillion, which is well below the recommended EPA safety guidelines as of now. Which is more likely, that that number goes up or goes down in the near future?
I can't answer that. I don't know if it's going to go up or down. I would say, again, though, that it's not an EPA safety standard. It's a health advisory level, and it's non-regulatory. The PFASs, just like 1,4-dioxane, are not regulated by the EPA under the Safe Drinking Water Act.
As states and different communities look at setting some standards for themselves, many are looking at a standard of 14 parts per trillion, which is below the measured levels in the Huron River now.
The 14 parts per trillion is more in line with the ATSDR report, which has lowered its what's called a minimum risk level, which is calculated differently. So the US EPA for the drinking water standard will calculate concentration of the substance in the water. The ATSDR is focused on the daily dose. How much does a person get through all pathways of exposure to get to their minimum risk level? So the ATSDR report, if you translate it and make some assumptions on the modeling, comes out around the 11, more like 11 parts per trillion, somewhere in that range, for a water guideline, a health advisory.
Once again, this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Dr. Rita Locke Caruso. Dr. Locke Caruso, the City of Ann Arbor's website says the fish from the Huron River is safe to eat. As a toxicologist, what is your opinion? Would you personally eat the fish when we're measuring it 15 parts per trillion?
I looked online, and I did not find any data on PFAS levels in fish in the Huron River.
Well, what about for recreation? Huron River safe to swim and play in, given current levels?
Yeah. The PFASs are not absorbed through the skin that quickly. There's some absorption, but it's not nearly like if it's ingested, if you drink or eat it.
Is it like many other issues where perhaps small and young children and the elderly and those with any kind of immunodisease might be more at risk?
I think that the answer is definitely yes. In fact, the US EPA health advisory for PFAS is based on the most susceptible population being young children, pregnant women, nursing mothers, and they're particularly concerned with the immune effects.
So setting politics aside, as we've decided to do, and purely
Thank
from
you.
A scientific level, what has to happen next from a remediation or policy standpoint to get the issues appropriately addressed?
Well, in some ways, the state of Michigan is ahead of many other states in that it actually set some screening levels for action. And not all states have that. So at least we have 70 parts per trillion for some kind of regulatory action. And the state of Michigan also has formed that the committee, the response team, an interagency coordination team, and has instituted a testing of all finished water for all public water systems in the state of Michigan and for school systems that rely on well water. So the state of Michigan's actually doing something. There are many states where things are not happening.
Some will argue that, well, we're doing something is not a strong enough argument.
I think more could be done, but I think that it's a difficult problem, and it's a problem that has happened because we, once again, put the chemicals into the environment and then worried about the consequences later. This is not going to be an easy problem to solve. Some things that can be helpful is putting these activated carbon systems onto drinking water plants. The real highest exposures, though, are for people who are in private wells near highly contaminated sites.
So from the scientific and research point of view, what will you be doing in the months and years to come in looking into this issue?
I head up a center at the University of Michigan that is funded by the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. And as part of our responsibilities, we are responsive to environmental crises in our region as well as in the country. And that's one of the reasons why I'm talking to you today. There has been requests to us to help people to understand these PFAS chemicals. They're not an easy set of chemicals to understand, and they don't behave like other typical environmentally persistent chemicals. They're different in lots of ways. And so, you know, what I'm trying to do is to provide public education, public outreach, working with people. We're creating some infographics that will go up on the web and be distributed to any interested parties in government or in medicine. You know, we're trying to help people to understand what is going on with this particular contamination.
Well, as we move forward and we learn more, we will obviously have to make the adaptations necessary to address the issues. And as you find those things out, we'd love to talk to you again.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That is Dr. Rita Locke Caruso. She is a toxicologist and environmental health sciences professor at the University of Michigan. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. It's heard each Wednesday on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.